Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios here in Cumming, Georgia, it's time for Stewarding Family Wealth. And now, here's your host.
Good afternoon. This is Randy Brunson with Centurion Advisory Group on this episode of the Stewarding Family Wealth podcast. In the studio with me today, in addition to the most wonderful Amanda Peirce, our engineer and host, is Mr. Joel Thane of IntegraCom. Joel, glad to have you with us today.
Hello, Randy. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Good. Well, we just finished a conversation about everything from the history of things in America to the benefits of homeschooling and rural travel, all kinds of cool stuff, right? What I'm curious about, though, is so 30-plus years ago, came to Atlanta, went to work for Oglethorpe Power, electronics, technology, some things of that nature. Somewhere in there, decided, you know what, I think I need to start a business. You were saying earlier that, you know, sort of what you learned from the generations ahead of you was to do that 40-year thing and then just retire, get the gold watch and a pension check and, you know, go sit right on the front porch until you die or whatever that looks like, right? But so you were there for 18 and a half years. So when did all this thing happen? Because you had Oglethorpe Power from 1990, and then there was a point at which, tell me all the story and what happened and why and all that.
Well, it wasn't a overnight decision.
Okay.
It was years in the making, right? So I started IntegraCom as a hobby business, really. It was just a way to make some extra money working in the evenings and weekends for people who needed technology services. So in the beginning, I primarily was helping companies, you know, maybe get a internet connected, get a firewall installed, and maybe a phone system, you know, just kind of interconnection services. So I was doing that on the evenings and weekends and just making a little extra money, and it wasn't a serious business. It was serious, but it wasn't like it was very, very part-time, and it was really more of a hobby than it was anything. So as far as how it transitioned, so, you know, working at Oglethorpe Power was a very good experience. I worked with great people. I learned a lot of good things, not only technically, but just people-wise, because I had a lot to learn. I still do. But I learned a lot there. I had a lot of good mentors, and I learned a lot and enjoyed my time there, and I miss a lot of people, of course. I do stay in touch, of course, and get together here and there. But I guess as far as a catalyst, you know, I did mention to you in the other episode how that, you know, I never intended to own my own business. I didn't think that was what I wanted to do. I grew up in a family-owned business, and I didn't think I wanted to do that. But I found out it was in my blood. It was what I wanted to do. It is what I enjoy. And I know that that's not true for everybody, but it was for me. And so I guess probably the catalyst that sort of shifted my mindset from a hobby to, progressing into a real business was not getting a certain job. You know, I was looking to progress in my career there, and I had applied for a manager's job. And to this day, I don't think I've ever had an interview that went any better than that interview. I came out of the interview saying, okay, this job's mine. It's like you just kind of know. You got a feeling, right? It went really well, but I didn't get the job. And, you know, which I'm very thankful for now, and I'm not faulting any decisions anybody made there, but and maybe it wasn't the best for me, but it turns out that it was a wonderful thing that I didn't get the job, because it did kind of shift my mindset around this this idea of working in corporate life to kind of be a little bit more in control of my future. And so that's when I started looking more seriously at IntegraCom and making and growing it. And so I think I had four or maybe five employees when I left in 2007. I started IntegraCom in 2000, again, as a hobby business, and I worked two jobs, if you will. In the beginning, it was a hobby job, but for 7 years. And so the last couple of years of that was a lot of work, a lot of hours, but I loved it. You know, I was building for the future. I had a vision for the future, and that motivated me. And I realized that I liked it. I liked it a lot. I enjoy being my own boss, and I enjoy making things grow. And I've gone from growing a business to even enjoy growing people. I like seeing people get stronger, whether it be technical skills, personally. So it's been really good for me, which I've been able to experience and grow in areas that I probably never would have. You know, working just at a job somewhere, great place to work. I'm not saying anything negative there. I like that a lot, but it was a time to move, and it worked out really well for me so far.
just so that our listening audience will know, tell us what Integracom does. What's the suite of services, or what does the company do?
Sure. Well, we fall in the category of managed IT services. It's kind of what it is, category-wise. So we're basically an outsourced IT department for business. So most of our clients are going to be kind of the smaller to mid-sized businesses. Many of them do not even have any IT staff at all. We are their IT department. So we partner with them. You know, we take care of everything that an IT department would do, from, you know, all the preventative and proactive work that needs to be done, the software licenses that are needed for security, for software patching, whatever, just keeping their infrastructure up and running. And moving there into like help desk support, helping their users if they have issues. It could be, you know, project oriented, you know, installing a new network or doing security work. It could be any of those things. And then it could also be more like around the sort of the planning or the budgeting, you know, kind of those strategic conversations around what are we doing next year, the year after, what do we need to replace? And so that's like all the things that an IT department does. So like a, you know, like chief, like CIO type services even.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to some, so you started doing some things part-time, 2000, the opportunity was there, the need was, the need was there. You knew, you'd talk to people that needed the help. So you started this just as a side thing, 7 years. So it was 7 years, and somewhere during that 7 years, you had that experience where you got passed over for a promotion. And the way I heard someone put it some years ago, they realized at that point when that happened to them, that the job didn't belong to them, but belonged to the company. They were just filling it, you know? Yeah. So it sounds like you had one of those experiences. Not my job, it's theirs. Maybe I should do something else. And so it sort of gave you, all right, let's create something here. But it was 7 years from sort of the first project, if you will, until the time that you could step away, at which point you had two full-time jobs and four or five employees with Integracom. But it was a seven-year journey.
Correct.
Yeah. Are there, as you look back on those 7 years, are there two or three things that you would have done differently? Are there two or three things, two or three decisions you see as just really good, solid decisions?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what's interesting is I see people can start a business and be much bigger than my company in a matter of like, say, 1 year, right? I see that happening. So could I have done things that's different to grow faster? Absolutely. Would I change anything or trade anything? I don't think so, because that experience of growing the company was building me as well, right? And so that's what I needed. And I also, you know, it's about me. I'm not really into debt. I don't want to have debt. So that also affects how fast you grow. But I just didn't want to go that route as well. But no, I can't think of anything I would change too much about it. I mean, now that I know what I know now, after building the business, there are things that I would do differently, but I didn't know them then. So, you know, I had a lot to learn. It was a great experience. I think a lot of times we can focus on what's, you know, the destination that we want to make and forget about the journey. The journey is probably the most important part. You know, it's that enjoying the journey part that we, where we really grow and where we get our experiences and where we learn. So I enjoy it.
But it was also during this time, though, you know, you made two or three things I heard there. One was you said that not only were you growing the business, but you being in the process was growing you as well.
Yes. Yeah, I needed, you know, I maybe more than the average person, I needed to grow myself in a lot of areas. And so as you grow a business, there's, you know, you either learn or you fail, right? So, and not that you can't do both. I mean, I failed and learned through the failure too, right? So that's why it took a little bit longer. But no, yeah, it was definitely growing me. And I mean, and that's my experience throughout my career. Even at Oglethorpe Power, I learned a lot, right? There's a lot through that I had to grow, and anything from technical to interpersonal skills to whatever, those are things that I needed help with, and they helped me as well. So
that's what have you, just in terms of personal growth, what have you found? I'm not sure this is on the subject, but I'm not sure we had any specific subjects. I just want to have a conversation here. But, and just in terms of personal growth, what are the things that you've done consistently that you've found have helped the most?
Well, I guess it boils down, if I want to boil it down to one thing, it is basically you are who you associate with. Who you hang out with is who you are. And that could be people, that could be the books you read, it could be movies you watch or music you listen to. Well, all those things that you're putting into your brain, that is who you are becoming. That is who you are. So I think that that's the most important thing for a person for growth, and it was good for me, is to guard who influences me. If I want to, whatever I want to learn more about, I want to hang around people that know those things. I don't want to hang around the people that take away from that. And so books, reading books, was extremely crucial for me in my growth. Not only business books, but just, you know, understanding people, brain types, and how people react to things. And, you know, everybody doesn't look at the world the way I do, and understanding that, and understanding that if everybody did look at it the way I do, that this would be a crazy world, right? We need that variety, and how to work with people that are different than me and accept them the way they are, and how to grow myself, you know, by reading these books and associating with people and start seeing some of the flaws in myself and being willing to make those changes. So yeah, reading the books, the people that I hang out with, that I get advice from, that's your mentors, that's your employees, whatever, whoever you're with, right? So those are things I had to always kind of be working on and make sure that I protect.
What's your list? So input, any kind of input. Mm-hmm. I understand and agree completely. So critical, the kind of input what you feed yourself, what you read, and do you have a particular types of books you like to read, or?
Well, I don't have just one type. I like to read a lot of types. You know, when it comes to business, there's a lot of business books I love. In fact, if anyone is out there thinking about starting a business, I highly recommend that they read The E-Myth, mm-hmm. Arthur Gerber, I believe.
Uh-huh. I believe that's right, Michael Gerber.
Yeah. And so that's a wonderful book just to get an understanding of what does it really take to own and operate a business. You may be good at this tactical thing, but are you really good at all the other stuff that go with it? And are you willing to do those other things, right? So that's a really good book to learn. So anyway, but I love a lot of books. So the Patrick Lencioni books are really great around business and managing and teams. I love those kind of books as well. There's another book that's been an influence on me called The Go-Giver. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm drawing a blank on the author, but it's about, you know, giving. Like if you want to grow in life, you know, our natural instinct might be, okay, what can I get? How can I get these things to grow? Whatever. No, it's about giving. Like how can you help people? If you think about it, you know, I don't know how you want to define success, but if you wanted to define success in, let's say, income, you know, people that make the most income are the people that are influencing the most other people. Yeah. Granted, it could be negative influence, it could be positive influence, but that's kind of like how many people can you influence? And of course, I'd like to look at that in a way of how many people can you positively influence? And so Amanda just gave me the book, Go Giver. So it is, the author is Bob Berg and John David Mann, M-A-N. So B-U-R-G and the last name M-A-N-N is the two authors. Go Giver. It's a great book. Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate it. Books. I also enjoy to read for just relaxation. Like I like historical fiction books, you know, so I'm not necessarily maybe learning anything. I mean, you are generally with a historical fiction book, sure. But I like to do that late evenings, you know, like it's kind of my wind down time. I love to read. I just love it. And so I learn all, you know, I like reading books, whether it be about the World War II era to, you know, maybe some more, you know, espionage type books or whatever. But so I read a lot, so I like both. I do generally have at least two or three books. But really, I have three books I'll probably read at any given time.
Yeah, I resemble that remark. Yes, I understand completely. I heard someone say one time that your work ethic can build something that your character cannot hold together. Because you referenced someone that can go from zero to hero in a year. That's what it looks like, you know, where they can go from no revenue to $1 billion in revenue in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. And then, of course, then the next headline, okay, is all the lawsuits from who? Employees, stakeholders, other people. They had not mastered the art of self-governance, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that there you go. So yeah, there's great value in that, the development of the person. I just always remember that phrase, your work ethic can build something that your character cannot hold together, because I personally had that experience 20 plus years ago, mm-hmm. You know, went through an experience where, you know, it's really just a an experience I don't care to repeat, but it was a case study in that, right? Yeah. That kind of thing. But by God's grace, here we are. We're still standing, moving forward, and very grateful. So, okay, so 7 years full-time, and you've been growing since then. What have you learned about hiring employees? You talked about it a minute ago, just how you, so on and so forth, but you and I were talking at lunch as well. As you identify, train, develop your team members, what have you learned about how to do any of that well? How do you hire well? How do you train well? How do you understand what they're looking for so that they feel known, understood, cared for, or whatever? How do you do that?
Well, I'm always learning in that area, so I don't have all the answers, but I do know, being in a technical service industry, that we have to have people that have technical skills.
Right.
But the longer I do this, the more I realize it is equally important, maybe more important, some of the non-technical skills that are also needed. So, and some of the skills that we need for our employees that can be taught and some of them cannot, right? So what we try to do is find the people that have the characteristics that we need to match our culture of our organization. And if they have the technical skills to go with that, that's a plus. And they, you know, usually we can find both, but if we don't, we would much rather have somebody that meets the characteristics that we need from around the culture of our company. And so we, you know, the core values of our organization are very important. They're key. We hire around those core values. Our interviews are based around those. That's what we're looking for. You know, if they don't fit that, if they don't fit our core values, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It doesn't mean they can't be a superstar somewhere else, but it does mean they're probably not gonna be a superstar with us. So we need to find that. So we find the people that meet the core values that of our organization. And then we make sure, and some of those core values are going to be like, one of our core values is relentless at learning. So we're going to hire somebody that loves to learn. So they're going to get the technical skills. They're going to always be learning. They're probably the guys that have a technology in their basement at home, and they're always tinkering with it. So, so you kind of put all this together, it makes the right package. But people are people, right? And so, and as including me, so we all have flaws, and we all have to kind of work with each other and learn how that works and how to lift each other up. And another core value for our organization is selfless for our clients and each other, right? So, you know, we find that that's very important in our employee selection process, our interview process, is to make sure that they're a match from the core value standpoint and then build from there.
So you've built your initial interview questions around your core values.
Yes.
Yeah. So that you, in that very first conversation, your questions are built to uncover how they interact with your core values, and not necessarily that they know that up front. It's just the questions you ask allow you to understand how they would interface with your core values.
Yeah. Yes.
Cool. Changing subjects for just a minute. Some months ago, we were talking, I don't know, maybe last year sometime, we were talking, and you described your dad as having the Scotch frugality, or something along those lines. And the story I remember you telling was something along the lines of, he would drive across town to save a penny on a gallon of gas.
That's right.
Okay. And yet, we've worked together for several years, and just in our conversations, you have, as a business, you've invested in people to help you with operations. You continue to be involved with EOS.
Okay? Correct.
So there's like professional costs you pay there. Right.
Yes.
And then you hired a sales consultant, that was or is part of the team, that then there's a cost associated there.
Yes.
And you have CPA and you have attorney, and you spent some time thinking about some of those kinds of things, and you're a client of our firm, so there's some costs associated there. My impression is you're a very astute businessman. You're very intentional with your employees. You're very intentional with your customers and clients. And you've been rewarded as a result of that. And yet, just being aware of these people you surround yourself with and the costs associated there, that's very different than driving across town to save a penny on a gallon of gas. So what is that transition? Growing up in your dad's household, watching him knowing he'd drive across town to save a penny on a gallon of gas, and here you are, you surround yourself with these people on purpose, or you wouldn't be paying them, right? Mm-hmm. What's been that transition? I mean, how have you made those decisions?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think it's just over time, and it wasn't that my dad, you know, didn't make good decisions in finances and stuff that.
But
and honestly, I still have some of that myself. I want to go across town and save a couple of bucks, right?
Right.
And you know, if you do the math, does it really make sense? Probably not. That's in there. But you know, I'll tell you a story. I remember one time that that's when I first moved to Atlanta. It's probably the first year that I was here, and I had a pickup truck, and I needed to get new spark plugs for it, right? I can change spark plugs, no problem. I changed the old in my car too, different things like that. So I bought these spark plugs, and I went that evening and after work and was installing them. Well, I managed to cross-thread it going into the engine block. And so I remember I finally got it fixed enough or whatever by 11 or 12 o'clock that night. And I realized, okay, I could have taken this to somebody who does this for a living, does it every day, and paid, I don't know what it would have been, 50 bucks plus the parts or something. I don't know. And here I spent all these hours on it, you know. So I realized then, and I know one of the things that makes America great is what we've been able to do from you're leveraging skill sets and automation and things like that. So in our industry, in our, you know, my business, you know, we take the IT worries from our clients. And we're experts at it. We can do it more efficient, more effective than they can. So they can save money by hiring us than trying to do it internally. And so if I believe that, which I do, then I need to do that as well. Like I know how to balance a checkbook? And yeah, well, do I know how to read an income statement? Yeah, sure, I can do all those things. But there's people out there that are much better at that than me.
Right.
You know, there's somebody I can hire to do my taxes, and they understand the tax law that I don't have time to go read and figure out. So I try to do that overall in my, and there are some things I do because I enjoy it.
Right.
And that's important. But for the most part, I try to hire experts in the areas of each part of my life, because they can do it better and faster than I can. I can pay them to do it, and then I've got that time to do something else, mm-hmm. to grow or whatever. So I guess that would be the summary of my philosophy on that.
Good. Well, I think we're just about wrapped up here from a time standpoint on this episode. If there were two or three things that you wanted to impart, you know, two or three words of wisdom that you wanted to share with our listeners that you would hope would have a positive impact on their life, that would make a difference for them in the way they live their days and so on and so forth, what would those things be?
Well, I said earlier about protect who you associate with. I heard someone say something about the top five people you hang out with is who you are. I think that it's very, very true. So I think you need to protect your environment. Read. I love to read. I know a lot of people like to listen to audiobooks or whatever, and that's fine too. For me, I want the paper book. I like to read. I think that's a way to gain influence. I mean, you can read stuff that's not good for you. Sure. So read something that's beneficial and, you know, have that influence. And then, you know, I guess the only other thing I'll say is it's the world's much bigger than we are. It's not about us, right? There's something greater there. And, you know, keep that in mind and live our lives accordingly.
Yeah. It's not, our lives are not about us. It's always about others.
That's right.
Yeah. I heard a quote one time. I've always remembered it. And I'm going to wrap up this episode with this quote, but the fellow said that was speaking from stage. He said that when you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. He said, live your life in such a way so that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. Mm-hmm. And I've always remembered that. So folks, thank you for listening today. This has been the second episode of Joel Thain of IntegraCom. You can learn more going to the website if you'd like to at IntegraCom.com or reach out to Joel. He's easy to find online. But more than anything, we hope that you enjoy your day and remember the best is always yet to come. Thank you for listening.